Good morning. The sun is shining outside. It's a beautiful day, and it's Mother's Day. And I have to tell you all about my corsage. In my family, we have a tradition. When our mothers are still with us, we wear red roses on Mother's Day. And when our mothers have passed, we wear white. And so I wear this today in honor of my mother and in honor of all mothers. We've got a few announcements before we start our worship service. As you all are probably aware, our food drive and our food ministry is in full swing. So just remember to bring food, peanut butter, cereal, canned meats, crackers, non-perishables. You can drop them off either at the office or between the double doors in the back parking lot. Reverend Jerry wants me to announce that adult Sunday school class will not meet via Zoom today or in person because of Mother's Day for family activities if you have those planned. Our church board will meet Monday evening via Zoom at 7:30 for those of you that impacts. And just to let you know, you probably are getting a little excited from the news. Things are starting to reopen in Kentucky. Our church leadership is working on a plan for getting our church so that we can physically meet back together again. Wanted to let you know about that. But stay tuned. Those plans are in progress, and as soon as they have been firmed up and we've got a plan, they will let you know. So let's now prepare ourselves to worship the Lord. Gather your juice and your bread or your crackers or whatever you have that you wish to celebrate the Lord's Supper with. Light a candle to symbolize the presence of the Lord with us, and let's enter into our worship.
Good morning, everyone. Please join me now in our call to worship. We declare to you today that Jesus was God's Messiah, chosen to turn the world upside down. We should brace ourselves for the demands for change that Jesus made.
Do we have to change too?
If Jesus is your King, then change is inevitable.
We declare that Jesus is our King with all our hearts and in all our actions.
Then let us worship Jesus, our King and our Savior. Let us pray. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Compassionate God, like a mother, come as an enfolding, nurturing presence. Come as steadfast love to hold us. Empowering God, like a mother, come as an enabling, strengthening force. Come as tough love to let us go. Merciful God, like a mother, come as friend and comforter, healing our wounds. walking our way, come as wounded healer to make us whole. Come, God, be with us this day. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way.
Let us join our hearts together for prayer. All glory and honor to you, O God, whose power brings forth flowers from the inanimate ground and green leaves from the seemingly lifeless gray branches of trees. We watch with wonder as birds carefully construct nests in which they lay their eggs, and then mother birds warm and protect those eggs for weeks through rain and storms and hail and the heat of sun to bring forth offspring into the world. What a marvelous world you have made, O God, and we're filled with wonder as we look upon it and observe emerging life in this time of spring. As a part of your design, O God, you've placed within women wombs in which human life begins. We give thanks for this miracle of life that not only comes forth from our mothers, but is protected and nurtured by them. We thank you for our mothers whose bodies gave us life and whose love filled our lives with kindness and joy and wisdom. We pray that you bless mothers everywhere that they might have the resources within themselves and beyond themselves to provide for their children all that they need. We recognize that this day is not one of happiness for everyone, O God, but for many it's a day of sadness for those who have not been able to become mothers. May they find others to whom they can give their love and guidance as well as comfort for their wounded hearts. We pray for those who grieve the failure of their mothers, who for whatever reason have been unable to nurture their children as they have needed. We pray for grace to forgive and for the love to care for others as they wish their mothers had been able to care for them. Further, we pray for those who grieve the death of their mothers. May they be comforted. And may they see the joy of the new day that you have given them, for which their mothers have prepared them. O Lord, we continue to step tentatively forward in this upside down COVID-19 world. We don't know what the future holds. But we know, regardless of what is ahead, that you will always be there by our sides. And for that, we give you thanks, O God. We pray that we might learn to trust in you in this time of uncertainty and find that your strength within us is far greater than our weaknesses. Lord, we ask that you might protect our workers, those who serve us in countless ways, our health care professionals, the first responders as they seek to save and preserve lives. Be with them and with their families, and may they find courage in you. We pray for those who are suffering with the virus, that they may know that they are not alone, even though they may be isolated, but that your love surrounds them, your power is at work within them, and that you will lead them through this time of difficulty. May this crisis teach us all how to sacrifice for the sake of others, and may it bring us together as fellow Americans, as human beings, as children of God. We now pray the prayer that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're continuing our study of the New Testament church as we read in the book of Acts about the growth of the church and the struggles that the church experienced and the ways in which God brought the gospel of Christ throughout the world. So reading in Acts, the 17th chapter, after Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days argued with them about the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise from the dead, saying, "This is the Messiah, Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. While they were searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out to the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. When they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people have been turning the world upside down, have come here also. And Jason has entertained them as guests. They're all acting contrary to the decrees of the emperor, saying that there's another king named Jesus." The people in the city officials were disturbed when they heard this. And after they had taken bail from Jason and the others, they let them go. This is the word of God for the people of God. We welcome Karen Tandy, who is playing piano today and has joined the COVID crew here. And Joyce McGee, thank you both for that beautiful duet. One day, two men came to my office, wanted to talk to me, they said. And we sat down together, and they pulled out these big old Bibles, you know, those big study reference Bibles that some people carry around. I knew I was in trouble. And they sought to set me straight about some things. And behind their presentation was this idea that the church has abandoned its Jewish roots, and that the church is the new Israel, the new chosen people, but we can't abandon those Jewish roots. And so they talked about how Jesus said he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then they began reading passages about different commands about festivals that the chosen people were to have, ordained by God, and certain laws. And I listened to them for quite some time and asked a few questions. And then they told me we would be glad to come to your church and do a seminar about all of this and give the full details of what we've come to understand to be vital for the faith. And my reaction was, no way, Jose. Now, I didn't say it in those words because I was trying to be respectful of them and their beliefs. But there was no way I was going to allow these men who I believe were really misinterpreting Scripture to come and have a seminar to lead my congregation into all kinds of confusion and away from the Christian church faith. And it was given that experience that I had with these men who came to me with an alien theology and approach to Scripture that I had sympathy, or maybe empathy, for the leaders of the synagogue in Thessalonica. Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, and they came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and there they taught the people this incredible teaching that the Messiah God had chosen indeed was destined to be killed and then to rise from the dead. It was an outlandish claim. But Paul and Silas, it says in the Scriptures, they argued with the people there at the synagogue. And perhaps surprisingly, some people accepted what they said. Quite a few, actually. And they were Jews who were, they were Gentiles who were somewhat converts to the Jewish faith. And many of them believed. And then there were some leading women of the synagogue who came to believe. And every minister knows what happens when the leading women of the church decide on something. And so the men decided it was time to stop Paul and Silas. And so they got themselves organized. They went into the marketplace. They found some probably, you know, goons to go with them and to stir up a crowd. And they went looking for Paul and Silas. They went to the house of Jason where Paul and Silas were staying, but they weren't there. So they took Jason and some of the other believers in the message of Paul to the city officials. And there they told them what they were teaching. And they said, these people have been turning the world upside down and saying there is another king named Jesus. That phrase that the Christians had been turning the world upside down got me thinking. I don't so much believe that Paul and the others were turning the world upside down as that they were turning the world right side up. The world of Paul's day was a cruel world. 90% of the people lived in dire poverty. And 1% lived in lavish luxury. That 1% had all the power. They made the laws. They exploited the poor with heavy taxes. It was a difficult life that most everyone was struggling with. It was a world that needed to be turned around. It was certainly not the world that God had created in the beginning, nor that God had planned for. So God sent Jesus to turn the world right side up. Jesus began his ministry with the very simple message, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe that I have good news for you. Jesus went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened it up and he turned to a passage that declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to free the oppressed, to declare the acceptable day of the Lord." It was indeed good news to the poor and the broken that Jesus brought from God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, for yours are the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. And blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." You see, Jesus came into the world with this news to the poor, to the broken, to the powerless, to the weak. This news that God was going to do a new thing. He was bringing in His kingdom. He was going to turn the world right side up. God was going to bring in His kingdom, a kingdom of harmony, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of love and peace. Of the Hebrew word is shalom, which means more than peace. It means the well-being of all people. That's what God was bringing through Jesus Christ to the world. And as the followers of Jesus, we are called to turn the world right side up as Jesus was seeking to do. I think we all know that we live in an upside down world. Racism continues to oppress our citizens, as we've seen this week with the story of the African American man who was shot while jogging and then no arrests were made until this week. And we have children who don't have enough food. 25% of American children don't have enough food. And that was before the pandemic and the loss of jobs and the other hardships that have come upon them. In some parts of our country, in some schools, education is in a horrible state. Many high schoolers can't even read. People are fleeing violent gangs and oppressive governments But they're locked out indefinitely at our southern border, at the door to our country, forced to live in dangerous and inhumane conditions where people are being beaten, raped, robbed, and forced into sex trafficking and gangs. And millions of our citizens do not have health care. Can't afford to go to a doctor. Can't afford the medicines that they need for their health. And this pandemic is showing the poor state of health care in this country, because we see so many Native Americans and African Americans dying from the virus at an alarming rate. So what do you suppose God thinks of these injustices and the suffering of His people? I think it makes God weep to see this world that He created with such wisdom, such love, to see such suffering, needless suffering, makes God very sad. And that is why He sent His Son Jesus into the world to relieve that suffering, to right the wrongs in our world. He came to establish the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we as the church pray for every Sunday morning, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom that we pray for is what God sends us out to help bring into the world by bringing about change, by turning the world right side up, the way it should be, the way that God intended it to be. As Francis mentioned at the beginning of the service today, of course, is Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mothers out there. And I've got to tell you, when I began developing my sermon, I had no intention to tie Mother's Day into it at all. But I was talking to my older brother, who lives out in California, on Sunday evening, and he said he and his wife had been reading my mother's autobiography. Now, that's not a published autobiography. Mom just wrote it to have her story of her life to leave behind with her children. And it's certainly a treasure to all of us children. So my brother was reading it and thinking about Mom, because actually Monday was my mom's birthday. She would have been 97 years old. And so I got that autobiography out and started leafing through it. And something dawned on me that evening as I thought about Mother. And that was that she had dedicated her motherhood to turning the world right side up. Mom had a very difficult childhood. When she was 5, her mother, who was pregnant with twins, fell, had internal bleeding, ended up dying, as did the twins. So Mom lost those two siblings she was excited to have in the household, as well as her mother. I mean, a very tragic thing for a little 5-year-old girl to have happen to her. But things went downhill from there. Her father took Mom and her little sister to his parents and said, "Will you keep the girls for a weekend?" And he abandoned them for 2 years. They never saw or heard from him. And then after the 2 years, he showed up at his parents' house with a new wife, a stepmother to my mom, who was truly the evil stepmother. She was a cruel, hateful, mean woman, and tortured my mother and her sister throughout the rest of their childhood and adolescence. And what the thought that had come over me that evening when I started thinking about my mother and her life was that Mom's home life was so horrible, and she knew it was wrong. It wasn't the way a home should be. And so Mother dedicated her life to make things right for her family. She turned that upside down childhood of that she experienced to be right side up for her kids. And she gave to us all the love we could ever have expected, all the support and guidance, spiritual guidance as well, that anyone could ever have dreamed of. Now, I don't think my mother is unique in what she did. I believe lots of mothers seek to turn the world right side up for their kids. You just think about a mother whose child is struggling in school. And mother shows up to talk to the teacher after class. And if things can't be resolved, mother ends up in the principal's office to talk, to try to get things resolved. And if things can't get resolved, she ends up at the school board meeting to get things resolved, because she is trying to bring about the best for her child. I've seen mothers do that. I'm sure you have too. Or if a mother's child is seriously ill, mother inevitably becomes the unrelenting advocate for the health of her child. And she'll take on nurses and doctors and administrators and lawyers. She's going to make sure her child gets the best treatment. Mothers are like that. They give of themselves with such fervor and commitment to protect the lives of their children. Someone wrote this: I finally found a Mother's Day card that expresses my feelings for my mother in real terms. It said, "Now that we have a mature adult relationship, there's something I'd like to tell you. You're the first person I think of when I fall down and go boom." Even as adults, when we're hurting, we know Mom will have an open ear, a sympathetic heart. She will understand. She will try to encourage us. She will try to lift us up, to turn the world right side up for us. On Friday, I sent out an email to everyone with this poem from George Webster Douglas, and I want to share it with you again this morning. A mother laughs our laughter, sheds our tears, returns our love, fears our fears. She lives our joys, cares our cares, and all our hopes and dreams she shares. Mothers so identify with their children that they commit themselves to protect their children, to provide for their children, to fight for their children if they must, no matter the cost to themselves, as they seek to turn the world right side up for their children. But mothers don't just look after their kids. They look after others as well. In 1980, a drunken driver killed a 13-year-old girl named Carrie Leitner. Her mother, Candy, was, of course, distraught by the death of her daughter and how senseless it was that it occurred because a man had been drinking. And she determined, I've got to find some way to do something about it so other children don't get killed, so other mothers aren't left in such shattered sorrow. And so she founded Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. We know it as MAD. And thousands of lives have been saved because the ways that they have, that organization has changed our understanding about driving while drinking or while drunk. And also laws have been changed in our country because of the new awareness of the problem that we've come to know through drivers against, or Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Candy Leitner couldn't bring her daughter back, but she found a way to save other daughters and other sons and mothers and fathers as well. She helped to turn the world right side up. Have you seen the movie Harriet? I think it's on Netflix these days, but I'm going to tell you what, that is a movie you need to see. Harriet was a young teenager living as a slave in Maryland and enduring all kinds of horrible cruelty upon herself. And of course, upon the other slaves, she watched the other slaves as well being treated with such brutality. She decided she was going to run for freedom. And she did. And through a many-day journey, she found her way north and to freedom. Now, you might think that then she would just be so delighted, so excited that her life now was going to be different and easier. She didn't have to go through the kind of punishment and cruelty that she experienced as a slave. She could get on with her life as a free woman. But she had told her brother she'd come back for him. And despite the protesting of those who had been helping her once she got free in the north, despite that, she still went back to get her brother and her mother, tried to get her dad as well. She risked her life for her family to bring them back, but she didn't stop there. She went back 105 times to bring slaves to freedom, to give them a new life. This Christian mother sought to turn the world right side up. Our world is still upside down in many ways. Human greed, hatred, fear, racism causes so much needless suffering in our world. The world is not what God planned it to be. But Jesus came to change the world. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to humanity, to right, to turn the world right side up. And He invites us, His followers, to join in that mission. And I've got to say, mothers, you're awesome partners in that mission of turning the world right side up.
Eat this bread, drink this cup, come to me and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup, trust in me and you will not thirst.
When Reverend Jerry was reading the scriptures to us today, the words that resonated with me were that Paul was proving and explaining to them, urging them to understand that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. Why was it necessary? I've had those thoughts every time I come to the table. I think of Christ's passion and his pain that he bore and his death and his blood and his body crucified for me. Why did he have to suffer? I want to hear Paul's explanation for that because I've thought of that a lot. I think people have struggled through history trying to figure out exactly why Christ had to suffer. And I want to share with you some of my thoughts. You know, we think a lot about Jesus paying the cost, the price of our sins, of humanity's sins, of all the horrible things that still exist in this world. And he did. But it occurred to me that God is God. He is divine. He is so far above us that the way to communicate to us the depth of his love is to relate to us in a way that we can understand. He loves us so much. He was willing to feel the despair of a parent losing a child. And he did that for our behalf. And so when we think of these emblems, I try to think of them as God's love poured out in Christ's body and in his blood. So as we come to this table today, let's think of these emblems not only as paying for our sins through Christ's death and his burial, but let's also think of God's love poured out through Christ. And I think Jesus wanted us to think these things. I think that's why he did this. He wants us to contemplate and to remember what it cost him and to remember how much he loves us. And so he took bread and he gave thanks for it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "Eat. This is my body." He wants us to remember. Let's thank Jesus for his body. Dear God, thank you for our salvation. Thank you that you sent your precious, precious Son to show us how much you love us. That you love us so much that you were willing to sacrifice him on our behalf. Thank you. And help us to remember. And Jesus took a cup of wine and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you. Remember." And so let's thank God that Jesus gave us his blood and this cup for us to remember that great love. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice. And we thank you for his great love, his blood poured out for us. Amen. So together now, brothers and sisters, as a community of faith, let's take the bread and let's eat it together and remember. And let's drink of Christ's blood, his love poured out for us and for the world. O gracious God, who poured out your love for us in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, We give you thanks for this sign of our lives together as a family, your church, the body of Christ. Amen. I don't know about you all, but I feel it, and I think you feel it too. It's like we're confined, we're cooped up, we're ready to break free. We want to make things better in our world. We want to make things better in this pandemic. We want to fix things. I think a lot of us are fixers. We want it to be better. We want to help our neighbors. We want this to be over. We just want to do something. Well, there's something we can do. Here's how we can do things now. We can use this pent-up energy. We can give. We can give of our money to this church. We can give of our food to our food ministry. We can look out and take care of our neighbor. Now in this time of stewardship, let's harness all this energy, this need to do something, this need to fix it, and let's give back. Let's give to our church. Let's give to our neighbor. There's something about helping others in God's economy that turns into healing for our own souls. So let's give with open hands and tender hearts, knowing very well that it will be us that receive the blessings. Amen.
Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father God, Mother God, we bow before you now, and we thank you for all of the bounty of the world that you have blessed us with. Use us as your hands and feet in this place. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
On, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet Amen of peace. With swords loud crashing, nor roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes.
What a great ending to that second verse. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, but with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Let us who have been blessed by the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has given His life for us, that He is risen indeed, and that He calls us forth to His kingdom building with deeds of love and mercy. Go in His shalom. Amen.